Greetings, Hoops Heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, April 17th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Great game last night. We're going to get into all of it. We're going to get into the game between the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers as well in the last segment, but it's going to be mostly Warriors today, as it was mostly Warriors last night. The Spurs came in and played a much better game this time around than they did, but the Dubs were able to run away with it near the end of the game behind 32 points from Kevin Durant and 31 from Klay Thompson. Everybody in the town jersey played well, and we're going to get into all of it. Thanks for listening to Locked On Warriors. You can grab this podcast anywhere, iTunes, iOS, Spotify, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. You can find me on Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, and at Locked On Dubs. I tweet from both accounts. You can also get in touch with me via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. It's my favorite time of the year. It's the playoffs. The first round, you know, a lot of teams still have hope. The Spurs' hope is dwindling after losing the first two games. But all the Warriors did was hold serve. They'll have to take one. Well, they don't have to take one in San Antonio, but hopefully this is a series that doesn't go seven games. It seems like the Warriors have the game plan. Even with Rudy Gay in the starting lineup, the Spurs were not able to muster enough scoring to hang with the Warriors, especially from the three-point line. The Spurs could only muster 4 of 28 from 3. Nobody made a three-pointer besides Patty Mills, who made 3, and Davis Bertans, who was 1 of 6. And overall, nobody besides LaMarcus Aldridge and Manu Ginobili really shot well. Rudy Gay was good as well, as a matter of fact. But LaMarcus, 11 of 21, and he made all 12 of his free throws, grabbed 12 rebounds to go along with 34 points. And 4 on the offensive end, the Warriors did a good job rebounding the ball yet again, holding the Spurs to 35 rebounds, only 16 assists, whereas the Warriors had 39 rebounds and 32 assists. 16 assists, very un-Spursian, and it's not because they turned the ball over, it's because they were missing shots. They only turned the ball over 9 times, they had 10 steals in the game, they played fairly good defense, even though the Warriors still shot 53% from the field and 48% from 3. I think that the defense of the Spurs was good. It passed the eye test. The difference is the Warriors have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Andre Iguodala came out firing, and JaVale McGee was very good. David West also very good. But the Warriors' defense definitely gets top billing. They were able to get 14 points off of those 9 turnovers, capitalizing on something that the Spurs didn't even really do, which is turn the ball over. The Warriors were a little reliant on pull-up jumpers and three-pointers, and obviously they have the talent to knock them down. But only 24 points in the paint compared with 46 for the Spurs. That'll be a point to look at going forward. But in the second half, the Warriors were just the better team by far. 33 points to 22 for the Spurs in the third quarter, 36 to 26 in the fourth. But I'll start from the beginning of the game. Steve Kerr said after the game that the Spurs punched them in the mouth in the first half, and they had to come out with some kind of response, and they did. It's really funny with the Warriors, like, being down 6 points at halftime is getting punched in the mouth, 53 to 47. I don't know. But LaMarcus Aldridge did have 17 points in that first half, 17 points in the second half as well. Kevin Durant had 17 points in the first half, so it's not like the Warriors were hurting too much. Andre Iguodala chipped in with 3 threes early and skied for an attempted, if that had fallen, the dunk that he tried to get up over LaMarcus Aldridge, that would have been the best dunk that the Warriors have seen in the playoffs since Baron Davis's dunk in 2007 over Andre Kirilenko. It would have been that good if it had fallen. And I think Andre has a few more of those left in his legs. So hopefully we'll see him sky for one of those ridiculous ones coming up. Honestly, he's well rested. He's a little bit banged up as we hear, but so well rested. A lot of those DNPs late in the season because of this or that ailment. And really what it did was help him rest up, get healthy, and get his legs springy again. I mean, did you see that? The length of the arms, the height of the feet. That would have been just, I think everybody in Oracle, everybody watching the game was looking for that one to go down and was so disappointed when it didn't, because that would have just been ridiculous. I was watching the national broadcast. I like going back and forth, watching the national broadcast on TNT and ESPN and ABC, making sure that I know what the national media is saying about the Warriors. But I'm sure that on the local broadcast, Fitz and JB were very, very enthusiastic about that one. You know what else I'm enthusiastic about is Draymond's beard. Draymond, for the first time, has grown a beard, and it's so appropriate. And not a big, bushy James Harden beard or scraggly JaVale McGee beard. Nah, it's coiffed. It's tight. It's cut real smooth. It looks good. So I'm going to say, good for you, Draymond. That's a thumbs up from Locked On Warriors for the beard. I wonder if it's a playoff beard or if it's something that he's just going to keep going. But I really do hope that it's a new look for Draymond because it works. Draymond did have two early fouls, so Kevon came in pretty early in the first quarter, and I feel so safe with Kevon Looney on the floor. I just want to talk about this a little bit. I didn't used to feel this way about Kevon when he was out there, but like, oh, Draymond has two fouls, we'll bring in Kevon, we'll be okay. That's how I feel, you know? Kevon plays such great defense. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over. And he takes, I mean, you just see him on the court. He just takes every moment so seriously. I just appreciate what he's bringing every single game. And he's gotten to the point where he's getting that veteran status, where I feel that when he's out there, good things will happen. Especially the 50-50 balls, the offensive rebounding, the getting on the floor. And as a matter of fact, the Warriors, they didn't get on the floor this season. You saw loose balls and, you know, maybe they didn't want to hurt themselves or this and that, but other teams fought for the ball harder during the regular season than the Warriors did. It was very clear that this is the playoffs now, and the Warriors are fighting for their lives for every loose ball. And I'd love to see the statistics of jump balls and how much they go up in the playoffs versus the regular season, because there are jump balls galore, and I'm not just talking about the Warriors, I'm talking about every single game. Everyone's fighting, and this is what playoff basketball is all about. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more on the Dubs. We're back, we're talking Dubs, and I want to start this segment by saying there were two blocked jump shots by the Warriors. That's the drinking game. You take a shot or a drink every time the Warriors block a jump shot. Only five blocks in this game to go along with five steals, but the Warriors did hold the Spurs to a minus 18.2 net rating behind a 102.9 defensive rating for the Warriors and a 121.1 offensive rating. Very good on both offense and defense, and the Warriors are showing that they can be the best team in the league on both sides of the ball. Kevon Looney and David West, as well as Sean Livingston, wow, defensively. 96.9 defensive rating for Kevon, 87.7 for David West, and an 84.9 for Sean Livingston in 19 minutes. That means that the Spurs only scored 84 points per 100 possessions when Sean Livingston was on the floor. That is extremely good defense from the team and the defensive lineups that we see. Sean Livingston, David West, along with Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and now because Andre is starting, Quinn Cook is getting in that lineup. And his defense, you know, isn't great, but the lineup, the four bigger guys, Sean Livingston, David West, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, that lineup, along with Andre Iguodala, was one of the best defensive lineups in the league. You trade out Andre for Quinn Cook, it still does work. David West was also good on the offensive end, 3 of 3. I'd like to see more David West, honestly. Like, the Warriors did everything right in this game. I'm not going to say I want to see more David West unless, you know, we start losing. But his decision-making, everything he did on the floor on both ends of the court, smart, smart, smart. JaVale was also 5 of 7, had a few highlight dunks, and some good defense to boot. The Warriors could still do a better job of recovering loose balls, though. You know, I talked about them fighting harder. They recovered 12 loose balls in this game, but the Spurs recovered 14. Rudy Gay recovered 7 loose balls on his own. That used to be a Draymond Green statistic, but Draymond has not played the same this year and didn't have a particularly great game anyway. 2 of 9 from the field. But what he does, what we want him to do, is deflect the ball. He had 2 deflections, screens. He had 4 screen assists. We want him to recover loose balls. He only had 1 of those, but he did contest 8 two-point shots and 3 three-point shots and boxed out with aplomb. JaVale McGee is becoming a better screener working with the coaches. He had 6 screen assists in this game. And that's awesome because he's starting. Obviously, Steve Kerr decided to start him specifically against LaMarcus Aldridge to get in his face. Aldridge is not a fast player, but he's so crafty. He has moves out the wazoo, and he put them on display. 17 points in the first, 17 points in the second half, and he was just all over the place scoring on everything that the Warriors threw at him, but the rest of the Spurs couldn't keep up. And they certainly couldn't keep up with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Klay is shooting 10 of 14 from 3 in the first 2 games of the playoffs. He was 5 of 8 from 3 last night. Only had 7 points in the first half, but came out with a big second half. 24 points, shooting the lights out, and with hands in his face constantly. That's what I mean. The Spurs defense passed the eye test. They did everything they were supposed to do. They couldn't play much better than they played on the defensive end. And the Warriors still put up 116 points behind 31 points from Klay Thompson. 32 from Kevin Durant, who didn't shoot well from 3. He was only 3 of 9, but inside of the arc was an absolute wizard. Pull-ups coming around screens. He had a looping up and under layup that just fell so gently. And he showed himself once again to be the best scorer that the game has right now. I mean, this guy is just absolutely special. They could not stop him. And that's the scariest thing about this Warriors team, is when Stephen Curry comes back, you've got 3 nuclear weapons on the court, and then Draymond acting as the trigger man, making sure that everything happens. Draymond could still be playing better, and I'd like to see him playing better. I'd like to see him take fewer three-pointers. Just see, you know, spend time looking at the court a little bit more and not rush early in the shot clock trying to get a shot up, because there's always a better option, even if that option is Draymond driving and getting to the line. He could do that a lot more. Oftentimes, he's quicker with the first step than the guy who's guarding him because he's a smaller 4. He has an underrated first step, and the Warriors don't take advantage of it as often as I'd like. Especially because he sees the court so well. He can see cutters coming from the weak side, get it to them when he's bottled up. I just think he's taking too many three-pointers. Or more specifically, that he's settling. Led the team, though, plus 17 on the night, despite 2 of 9 shooting, 9 points, 5 fouls. He did have 6 assists, but only 5 rebounds this night. Andre actually led the Warriors with 7 rebounds. I think he led the Warriors with 7 rebounds last game as well. Well, JaVale McGee also had 7. And on the offensive end, if they're going to let Andre shoot, Andre gonna shoot. 4 of 5 from 3, 5 of 7 from the field. With 5 assists to boot, and the Warriors did a better job turning the ball over. Once again, 15 turnovers in the first game, but they were really spread out. Sean Livingston had 3. Nobody else had more than 2. And that's really what I'm looking at, is individual turnovers. Because you could have a high turnover game, 16, 17, 18 turnovers, but everybody had like 2 turnovers. What I have a problem with is when one guy, Draymond or Kevin Durant or, you know, Stephen Curry when he comes back, has 4, 5, 6, 7 turnovers. And that one person is the cause of most of the live ball damage that's happening on the other end. What I like to see is much more control of the basketball. I think the Warriors played with control throughout the game. And anytime you can more than double up your assists to turnovers, that's great. 32 assists, 15 turnovers for the Warriors. One of my last few notes on the Spurs, 0 points for Danny Green. Not a great night for him, a minus 26. And if he plays better, tries to match Klay Thompson's output even a little bit, the Spurs have a better chance. This series is shifting to the Alamo City on Thursday, followed by a matinee on ABC in San Antonio on Sunday. You're listening to the Locked On Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a short look at Sixers Heat from last night, as well as a look at the other games tonight. Greetings, Hoopsheads. It's that time. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are hot right now, and Locked On Warriors is no different. We have a connected audience between the ages of 18 and 49 waiting to hear about your products. So get in touch with me, alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. Our rates are super reasonable, and you've got nothing to lose, so get at me. And we're back, and we're talking around the NBA. Dwayne Wade had a vintage game last night, 28 points to lead the Heat over the 76ers. Tough game for the 76ers, definitely, considering they won 130-103 in the first game. You know, and that's the thing about playoff basketball. The Miami Heat didn't get the sixth seed for nothing. They have very good coaching, a 10-year coach in Eric Spoelstra. They have star power in Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade, Hassan Whiteside. They have a great set of role players, Richardson, as well as Tyler Johnson, and there's no way they were going to give up without a fight after one game. That's the thing. A win is a win. A win by 1 point is a win, and a win by 27 points is a win. And so all that mattered is that the Sixers held serve in game one, and then they were broken in game two. Now they have to go and break back in Miami. And if you didn't know, I'm rooting for this Sixers team. I want them to go all the way. I want to see them in the finals. I want to see Joel Embiid, who said he's fucking tired of being babied. Well, he's a young guy. He's going to go out on Twitter and spout off a little bit. Not really a veteran move, but I can understand when he sees his team out there and they're not winning. You know, I mean, he could be the difference in the game. So hopefully we will see him with that orbital fracture and the masked Embiid on the court for the Sixers and Miami in the next game. Whiteside only played 15 minutes in this game. You'll definitely see him a lot more when Joel Embiid returns, I'm sure. But Goran Dragic was very good, 8 of 14. Dwayne Wade turning back the clock, 11 of 16. And Josh Richardson, 5 of 12. They don't shoot a lot of three-pointers, only shot 25, making 9, but it was enough to get the win. Wayne Ellington with 3 of 8 being the most prolific three-point shooter. J.J. Redick, not a great game, 1 of 7 for the 76ers, and Dario Saric, 3 of 10 from 3, 1 of 9 for Robert Covington, and 2 of 8 for Marco Bellinelli. They need scoring elsewhere, and that was all three-pointers. Of course, Ben Simmons was good, 10 of 17 from the field for 24 points to go along with 8 assists and 9 rebounds, and Dario Saric didn't shoot particularly well, but still was able to put up 23 points. Is this team good enough to beat the Heat without Joel Embiid for the whole series? Yes, it is, but would we love to see Joel Embiid in the first round to go up against Hassan Whiteside, to go up against this very good defensive Heat team? Yes, we absolutely would, and I can't wait to see it. So we're going to be looking at when he will return, he being Embiid, very closely. Tonight, we've got the Washington Wizards at Toronto. Toronto winning easily over the Wizards in the first game. That's going to be on NBA TV at 4 p.m. Pacific. Bucks Celtics, what a great game one. They'll be on TNT at 5 Pacific. I'm rooting for the Bucks too. I want to see the Bucks and the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But I love this Bucks team. They're not as good as the sum of their parts, and that's what I don't understand. They have so much talent, but they don't play like they have a ton of talent. They aren't super good defensively, even though they were a few years ago, and they have a turnover problem in the playoffs. It, you know, just one game, but they turned the ball over 19 times, and they were so close to winning. If they don't make all those turnovers, they probably take game one in Boston. And then the nightcap, the Pelicans at the Blazers. I didn't get a chance to see Pel's Blazers game one, but I am certainly going to sit down and watch Pel's Blazers. Game two, New Orleans coming through with the win on the road, 35 points from Anthony Davis, and the Blazers are going to have to bounce back. They've got to have CJ McCollum and, of course, Damian Lillard locked in, unlike they were in the first game. That's about as much time as we have for today. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be continuing to talk Dubs, of course, going around the NBA, all that goodness. Make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast, especially during the playoffs. Locked On NBA is daily, 5 days a week. Nuggets on every single team playing in the playoffs right now. It's the local experts with the biggest stories. You can also check my workout on Forbes.com. I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. So take a look at the Sports Money blog. I'll keep you posted on everything I have coming up. Thanks for listening, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.